You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints out in Ball Club.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like breaking day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size
like
and everything else, they just were too realistic.
And they're
to be
frozen like a tree.
The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. It's a movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the cypress knee, and he was talking moccasin Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
I'm cold. Now I know what Santa feels like. Holy Jesus, my Lord. How cold have you ever experienced it, Marco?
Well, I'll tell you, it got down to 65, and I was pretty cold.
That's off the hook, man. I got to tell you, you know, we've gone through so much cold weather throughout our tenure in this business. Bob could tell you the story about it. Got down to 13 below zero when we're in Montana. And I think when it gets below zero, you really don't care anymore, okay? Long as you're bundled up, and I think the thing that really knocks it off the shelf is the wind chill factor, because it brings it down even worse, if you know what I'm talking about. I got to tell you, it's they closed portions of the freeway from Flagstaff to Kingsman, and when they close the freeway, you know that it's pretty dangerous. And we had to come down, the boys and myself, down from the top of the mountain. We're up at 6,700 feet elevation. And those flurries were coming down pretty thick, fast, and furious. And I got to tell you, it got cold. It got real cold.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's okay. That's what we do. You know, we go sleet, snow, sunshine, no matter it is, we're there. Oh, yeah, I know, and then you people call us nuts, and some, especially the ones that love us and that are close to us, and saying, what's wrong with you? Can't you be normal like anybody else and get an 8-to-5 job instead of chasing monsters and mythical beasts? And to boot, you're away from your loved ones, and at the same point in time, we don't know if you're going to come back in one piece or not. But this is the difference, guys. This is the real Bigfoot hunters and researchers, as they're all called today. versus the ones that are just in the dream world. And you know who you are. And guess what? The name of the game is this. If you find them, you've got them. Wherever you are, there you are. And that's where you're going to go. But you know what? The hell with us. Marco, Bill, you're back with us.
I'm back.
And my God, he's back. Now listen, I'm tired of doing your belly aching to everybody. You need to explain, not put it up on no, post it on no board or website. Let it come out of those lips. Take a deep breath, son, and tell everybody what happened and what transpired and that you're here now. You got the floor, son.
Okay, Tom, first of all, I need to know what number you're dialing in on so I don't accidentally mute you out during the show here. Do you know what the area code is on it? Well, everybody, I tell you what, last Wednesday, I was preparing for the show, and I was preparing to be released to, earlier in the afternoon. I was at, seeing the doctor at the hospital for a checkup, and all of a sudden they admitted me into the hospital just about an hour or so before the show time. And so we didn't really have a lot of chance to go in there and to let everybody know what was going on. And, of course, I was out of pocket for about 4 or 5 days. I was released here this past Sunday. I just want to thank everybody from the bottom of my heart, all you well-wishers and extended family, Bigfoot family friends out there, for all your prayers, all your well-wishes, and everything else. I know it was probably confusing not having a show, not having anything on the air here to let you know what was going on. But I'm back. I'm fine. I'm doing well. And everything's okay. And the show will go on. Tom?
You bet, buddy. And I got to tell you, each and everybody out there, yours truly was one hell of a sleuth. I went through 12 hospitals, and it wasn't until the 12th hospital that I finally found our brother Marco. when he decides to lay low, he decides to lay low real well. But
I
guess what?
My wife didn't even know where I was.
And I'll tell you what, I found you. What, you know, I'm curious as hell. When I got on to the nurse's floor, when I finally found you, and they asked me what my relationship was to you, and I told them I was your brother. Now, I didn't lie, did I? I'm your brother from another mother. Okay, so now that... Yeah, so the point of it is, it's real simple. By me getting on, and you heard me when they went to get you into your room, what went through your head?
Well, I was just wondering, probably who it was, but really, I had an IV in me and a whole bunch of other things, so there wasn't very much going in my head except medication and a bunch of other things at that time. But I was certainly happy that you found me and I was able to talk with you. And again, you brought with you all the well wishes from all the listeners out there and the extended family that we have. And there's a lot of them out there, let me tell you that.
And I'll tell you what, buddy, my God, the calls just came coming. I couldn't handle them all between JV, Java Bob, and myself, between all the emails and all the phone calls. My God, I thought we were missing the President of the United States because that's how many people had called in. It was fast and furious, Marco, and you're right. You've got a lot of people that love and care for you. So what we need to do is keep you in good shape and word to the wise, talk to JB and maybe pass on those ID and password numbers so we don't have to go through this again. I hope.
Well, it won't be a full thing, but we'll have a partial one at least, something that you can notify people on.
Well, that's the main thing, and God bless you for being back with us, pal, and just stay healthy now, okay?
I will, and Tom, what's your number? I need to make sure I don't mute you out here.
The last four is 0342.
Got it. I just wanted to make sure. Thank you.
Okay, buddy. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I want to do a fast shout-out to our friends and family across this country and some new ones to boot. We got Larry out in Ohio. This guy is a pretty cool cat, ladies and gentlemen. He has a Bigfoot research organization, quote-unquote. You know how I am with that. And he has a blog. He sent me some stuff today, and I looked at it, and we bantered back and forth. But I'm a simple guy, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you who know me, I'm not into this electronic media crap. And if you can't give me your phone number and we can't discuss things like human beings, well, I don't think we have much in common, you know. So it's not that I'm against this new electronic media with the tweeters and Twixen and Trixen and all that kind of crap and FacePage and Facebook and all that garbage. We've got things to do, okay? While these people are Twixen and Twaxen and Tootin and all the other good things going on, you know, we're out in the brush, okay? Facing the elements and going through all this crap that we go through so we can have a show and talk about it. And my God, they're coming in fast and furious all over the world, ladies and gentlemen, not just nationally. We're getting stuff from all over now. And it's because of the job that we're doing and that you're doing out there. You know, you're a tentacle of searching for Bigfoot. Because this is a platform, ladies and gentlemen, to take your wares, what you find, and put them out and share it with the world. And my God, that's what we do. We're not afraid to share it. You know, so when you researchers call me or say to me, well, I'm protecting my area. Hey, look, I'm out in Arizona. We got stuff going on in Texas, West Virginia, Alabama. We invite anybody. We're not hoarding anything. Okay? The more the merrier. Come on out, because you know what's going to happen? You can put that invitation to anybody, to put it out to the world. And guess how many people are going to show up? That's right. Count both your hands on how many fingers you got on both those on those hands and how many toes you got on those feet of yours. And I'll guarantee you, you only need one hand. And if one person or two people even come out, you'll be lucky. Because there's not many people that go out and do what we do. End of report. Don't need to talk about it. Jimmy Snell, got your email, got the Christmas video with Santa Claus. God bless you, man. It was off the hook, and I chuckled for about at least 6 minutes. I got to tell you that. Dan down in Tennessee, we're on our way. We'll be there before you know it. On our way between there and West Virginia. A lot of stuff going on, like I told you, ladies and gentlemen. West Virginia, Tennessee, Alabama, Florida, Mississippi. It's going on fast and furious to my general giant in upstate California. Hey, man, thanks for those kind words. And if it wasn't that I get those calls from you now and then, it would be tough for us to keep going the way we are. My girls, that champion behind me, and you know who you are. I don't need to bring you to the front, but I'm going to do it anyway because some of you say, hey, I miss that, because each and every week I live for the show, Tom. And when you give me a little accolade like that and tell us and everybody else that we champion behind you, which we do, you and your boys, it means so much. So Becky, Connie, Leslie, Susan, Bo, there's another Leslie. And the list goes on and on. And if I forgot you, please. Oh, and Frankie, a new addition to us down there in Alabama. Thank you guys so much for championing behind us. Because you know what? It gives us the fortitude to get out and do what we know how to do. And to all, each and all, and Gigi, oh my God, where would we be without her? She's such a wonderful gal. My love goes out to each and every one of you people, and thank you from the bottom of my heart, from my boy's heart, and a kudos and salutations to each and every one of you out there. Well, I got to tell you guys, it's fascinating. We got some fascinating stuff. And I'm telling you, the stuff we got is so fascinating that it's above and beyond my comprehension. So without any further ado, I'm going to bring on to the show Richard Stubstad and, you know, my little special girl. You all know who she is, Shannon Sylvia. These two people have gone above and beyond the call of duty, ladies and gentlemen, and I mean busted hump. These two guys have busted hump. And I am so proud of them. Remember the nail that we got, the toenail from up here in Arizona? Well, the DNA came back. Well, they found up there was a screw-up somewhere along the line from our fine doctor and our own crew found it out. We're going to talk about that tonight. So without any further ado, let's go down to Ojai and get Richard on the phone. Richie, you there?
I sure am. Can you hear me, Tom?
Loud and clear, and we need a wind mask around your mic or your phone because you're really protruding pretty heavy.
I'm really sorry. I'm on a cell phone, and I'm in Atlanta, and that's the best we can do from here. Are you okay now?
Yeah, just that. All you have to do is back away about 2 inches from it. We can hear you loud and clear. And by the way, all the wonderful people in Atlanta, I miss you dearly, but there's some people in Georgia that I can't stand, and they know who they are. that's just a little pun, by the way. Let's get up there to the valley and talk to my personal assistant, Shannon Sylvia. Shannon, you out there, darling?
I am. How are you tonight, Tom?
Cold.
Well, I miss the cold. That might sound really strange to everyone out there, but I miss the cold, and I like those low temperatures, so I actually envy you. So don't feel so bad.
Well, you know, there's the old adage, Shannon. In the wintertime, you can always put a lot more on. In the summertime, there's only just so much you can take off. So I'll leave that. Look here. You guys got my head spinning. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you what happened. You know JB. JB is my brother from another mother, and you know that he and I have our backs in the circle, and they'll be that way for the rest of our lives until they fit us for the pine box. Between him, Shannon, and Richard, these guys have done some remarkable stuff. Until last Sunday, I was going through all the emails, and then I says, oh, my God, we need to come to a head on this whole thing. And we got them all together and did a conference call. Well, the stuff that they've come up with, ladies and gentlemen, is mind-boggling. It's groundbreaking. And I'm going to tell you this. It'll probably go down in history for what we're going to be able to talk about here tonight, what these guys have come up with. Who's going to spearhead this? Shannon, Richard, who?
Do I start, Shannon?
Yeah, I think that would make the most sense, Richard.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen. And are you there?
You got the floor, son.
Okay. DNA. I'm one of these guys who doesn't necessarily believe what I see. I don't necessarily believe what I hear, but DNA doesn't lie. So when I heard on Tom's website that they found this toenail up in northern Arizona someplace, about where you are right now, right, Tom? And this toenail just intrigued me to no end. And sure enough, we got the DNA sequencing, and we have been working. Shannon and JB, Java Bob, and myself have been working day and night practically, comparing it to everything we can find on the internet in terms of chimpanzees, gorillas, bonobos, you name it. We even compared it to Neanderthals. And we have some astounding findings, ladies and gentlemen. So stay tuned, and we'll tell you all about it. First, kind of a crash course in DNA. There's two kinds of DNA that everybody, in fact, every living animal, every living thing has. One is mitochondrial DNA, and that's the kind of DNA that's passed down from mother to mother to mother, ad infinitum. The other kind is nuclear DNA, and that's the kind that's used to identify individual people. It determines your height and your, you know, all your individual traits, what you look like, your facial features, your dermal ridges, everything. And that's how you differentiate, for example, O.J. Simpson from, say, Tom Biscardi, from the nuclear DNA. Those two probably have the same mitochondrial DNA, at least for part of it. Tonight we're going to talk about mitochondrial DNA because mitochondrial DNA comes from the mother, and there's about 16,500 pairs of mitochondrial DNA, and it's like a map. It's a map of your genes and your makeup as a species. And part of that mitochondrial DNA is, let me look here on my little website, and it's called, this is crazy, but they call it primer set MCB398 and MCB869. And what that means, that's a part of the DNA sequence near the end of the 16,000 pairs in the mitochondrial DNA sequence that's species specific. So you can easily tell the difference between a human, a chimp, and a rabbit, and a snail, and whatever you want to do. All you have to do is sequence the DNA and compare them, and then you know what you got. Well, like Tom said, we send it to the good doctor at a leading university in this country, in the United States, and it came back as none of the above. And this poor doctor couldn't figure it out. So he or she ran the DNA again and got exactly the same result. Well, fortunately for us, she sent us the sequencing. So Shannon and I and JB went on the internet and searched and searched and searched. And we found out exactly the same thing. It doesn't compare with anything. But we went a step further. We found out how it compares to all these things. And you know what? It compares closest of everything that exists to humans, not to chimps, not to gorillas. This thing is two pairs away from humans and about, let's 47 pairs away from a chimp. So it's very, very close to human DNA, but no cigar. So that's why the good doctor told us it was 99% human. Well, there's no such thing as 99% human. Either you're human or you're not human. Either you're a chimp or you're not a chimp. And it's none of the above. It's close to human, but it's not human. So the next thing we did, they've recently sequenced the Neanderthal from relic bones found in Spain or France someplace, and they found out that Neanderthal is about four pairs removed from humans, four or five pairs, and this toenail is two pairs removed from humans. So basically, the toenail owner. And by the way, we've got a name. Shannon and I dreamt up a name for this toenail owner, and we're going to call her Thomasina. I hope, Tom, you approve, but that's in deference to Patty from 1967. So this is Thomasina. Well,
I love it. I love it.
According to the good doctor, she thinks it's got to be human because it can't be some other creature. So whether it's human or not, we'll call her Thomasina. And, you know, it's not Jane. We found out it wasn't Jane looking for Tarzan up there. So it's Thomasina, and it is not human. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We're looking for other DNA evidence, and we're going to compare it to what we found now. Hopefully we'll get a match, and we'll have really, really exciting news in the next few weeks, hopefully, or a few months at the most. We are getting there. We have our nearest living relative right there in Arizona.
Wow. Now, you know, I got to tell you guys, and I want you to listen to me very closely. I don't think you really know what he just said, because it didn't stick in with my brain. And you know me, I'm probably the stupidest guy in the world, for about 6 hours, until I finally woke up and I says, oh my God, did he say what I think he said? Meaning, i.e., that we've got something here that's the closest relative to man that has been undiscovered. And this could be the dawning of a whole new day, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I want Shannon, she worked very closely, and I take my hat off to this woman. My God, did she work close with her, with Dr. Jane. We're just going to call her Dr. Jane from the East Coast out there in Pennsylvania. Would you be kind enough to paraphrase what she actually sent to you in the email, Shannon, about, Or bring the audience up to date on how it came about in the beginning, and how they were all shaking their heads and scratching their heads and saying, wow, we just don't know. Can we keep it a little bit longer? And then, oh, by the way, can we keep some of the DNA to keep it on file? And then the straw that broke the camel's back, Shannon, tell her what she said but didn't use the word Sasquatch. You got the floor, kid.
Well, that's exactly right. Initially, they seemed to be rather confused right off start, and they ended up running the sequencing twice. What should have taken really, well, less than a month ended up taking 2.5 months. And they, very clearly, they were very hard-pressed to let this specimen go. Apparently, it was quite the talk of the university. There was much conjecture amongst the students and the other academics. In fact, she told me it was an extremely valuable tool for teaching the graduate students that were in her laboratory. She just really, unfortunately, it comes back again to what I had stated on many occasions, that when it comes to putting themselves on the line, they're just not going to be open to conjecture where there's any kind of scientific confusion or controversy. And she was very, very reluctant to say anything other than this is 99% human. But at the very end of our discussions, and I must say I will applaud her, she's been very open to further discussions, and I think, again, that's because she's really been quite happy that she was permitted to keep a piece of the nail for future reference, which, if you think about it, is rather amusing, because I'm sure, as Java said, there is a lot of human DNA out there already, and if this is just human DNA, why would you possibly want to keep a piece for a future investigation? But what she said to me was, or I said in writing, was that when they received, they were expecting some more sequencing, which is longer strands of the coded DNA, longer pieces of the puzzle, to be coming into the databases in the near future, and she believed that when that happened, that she may indeed find a match. When you think about it, that has really got to be one of the most ridiculous statements to make, because if the creature is 99% human and the human genome is complete in the labs, they have access to all of the DNA, then the only possibility of a match would be with one of the primates or monkeys. So, as Richard pointed out, you're either human or you're not. So what she's stating there, she believes that the match would be with a primate, so we'd have a 99% human and a 1% primate walking around. And I find that really amazing that she would even conjecture that, but she won't be open to the idea of what is most logical, and that there is a new species of hominid out there, and it's Sasquatch.
And that's the thing that blows our minds, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, did you hear what my sweet Shannon just said? My God, there's another species roaming the woods like we all knew, but they're afraid to come forth, put their shingle on the line and their reputations, because you know how hard it is to get a job today, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be real, okay? Let's be real about this whole thing. But there's a part, if you have it there, Shannon, I would love for you to read it. Just paraphrase what she said. And I loved your retort back to when you said, to find Dr. Jane, and I loved it when you actually faced her with it. I want you to read it. If you could listeners would love it. Go ahead, go, girl.
Well, I'm a little bit more open in email, let me tell you. I had stated in the email that, let me see here. I know we don't like air, but again, that she had, I'll just paraphrase what I said, is that she said that in the future when there was additional sequences of the current large primates, it would have to be primates because the human genome is complete, then perhaps there will be a match for this unknown 1%. And I said, I beg your pardon, good doctor, did I hear you right? You refuse to state the obvious and speak the word Sasquatch, but you feel safe conjecturing that there is a crossbred human gorilla running around the southwestern landscape, laugh out loud, How revealing is that? The good doctor was so fixated on keeping her final report non-controversial and distanced from any big woolly booger scientific conjecture that she made a statement so ridiculous it would not ring true with a 12-year-old. How could a creature be 99% human and 1% chimp, orangutan, or gorilla? I can swallow 1% unknown species or 1% unknown primate, but believe you me, I won't be holding my breath waiting for that extended primate sequencing to come into the lab, let me tell you.
I got to tell you something, okay? it's been a dry run for me and my boys, but you just gave me oh, I can't say that on the air. I feel very happy what you just said, because it was incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to what she said. And when Marco Bill archives this show, go back tomorrow and listen again, because it just verifies that this hard work that we're doing and the finds that our friend Larry got there is true. We've got something that is of a primate state that has been not discovered yet. And guess what? I'm going to bring it to the front. I'm going to have the biggest gas of a ball with the media when Shannon and Richard and JB get this whole thing down to a gnat's ass, because I'm going to bring it to the front and I'm going to tell everybody. And then you know what's going to happen? There's going to be somebody out there. I don't care. Somewhere in the world, somebody's going to come forth and say, you know what? You guys are right. And I'll be willing to put my sheepskin on the line to back you guys. I think it's around the corner, ladies and gentlemen. And like Richard said, maybe not next week, next month, but it's coming. And it's the hard work of what they're doing. Listen, you guys, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. This is just so off the hook. Shannon, God bless you, darling. Richard, man, you are so off the hook. It's incredible. JB, balancing the whole act for us while we're gone. Thank you, my brother. Ladies and gentlemen.
Can I say one more thing, Tom?
You got the floor, son.
Okay. If anybody's listening out there that has any knowledge of a potential additional sample, give us a call. Send us an email. Let us know so we can compare it to what we found, because we have no other matches to this, to Thomasina at all. So, ladies and gentlemen, let us know if you've got anything. We'd like to see it. We'd like to hear about it. Now, in terms of the human genome that Shannon mentioned, we downloaded all kinds of sequences from the Internet. We downloaded North American Caucasians, North American African Americans, North American Indians, Canadian Indians. We downloaded even Aboriginals from Australia. We downloaded everything we could think of. No cigar, no match. This toenail is 2, 3, or 4 sequences separate from any human we could find in the entire world, and there's about 1,000 of those on the Internet, and it's about 6 pairs different from Neanderthal. Now, Neanderthal, they claim, is different than humans. It's not human. But somehow the good doctor thinks that somehow this toenail's got to be human. Next thing you know, she's going to be saying, oh, Neanderthal was human too. I say, give me a break. Over and out.
Thank you, Richie. Oh, man. What an exciting show thus far, ladies and gentlemen. I've been waiting for this to come to the front. I've been waiting for my team, my colleagues, my associates to come forth and tell us. And, boy, this is totally amazing stuff. You know what? Marco, let's pay some bills. Let's go to commercial real quick. And on the other side of the commercial, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned, because you're going to hear one hellacious guy talk about an incident that'll blow your mind back there in West Virginia. It's on you, Marco.
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. you see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Ball Club.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like breaking day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
and everything else. They just were too realistic.
And they're
to be
frozen like a trimmer.
The hand was freaking
out. Into the woods.
Female.
Big what creature lives. Bigfoot lives. It's a movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And Tom, it's back to you.
Hey, Marco, did you ever think in the 3 years that you and I have been associated, we'd get this far, especially with this DNA? Is this incredible stuff?
It's incredible stuff, Tom. But I have no doubt, since joining you and Java Bob and the rest of the team here, that eventually we're going to find some success in all of the effort that everybody's put in for all these years. And I think it's near term right now.
You know, I got it, and thank you for that, because it is the truth. My gosh, and I parrot you a million times over. It just blows me away, and there's just so many people to thank along the lines from every different state of the Union here in the United States, and the people that have helped us in more ways than one, you know, and not just financially and support, but I'm talking about emotionally, and even for the littlest guy. Okay, those teen guys, those infants, those young people that have joined us along our treks, and when they call and they say, "Mr. Biscardi, can I become a Bigfoot researcher along with you guys? Can you help us out?" And you know what? My heart goes out to them kind of people, because we're doing something that very few in the Bigfoot field are doing, and I've got to tell you, it's being trickle down from the eldest people in our organization, the eldest people that are out there listening to us, to the kids, the people who are learning in their learning years. But without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go out there to West Virginia. I'm going to introduce you to a guy that is totally incredible. He has a family of these creatures in his virtually in his backyard. He's got an excess of 50 acres, and he shot a couple of them. He's fed them. He's communicated with them. And oh, by the way, I had a couple of my guys, one being Don Creel and the other one Leonard, who's been out with me in West Virginia before, and also has been out there in the other parts of Virginia. They gone out and they did some grunt work for us, and they said, "Tom, wow, this guy has seen something, and he's got something out here, and we need to investigate it more thoroughly." Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's go out there to West Virginia and get CJ on the phone. CJ, you out there with us, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing real good, man.
Listen, CJ, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, man, since the time you first got a hold of me till we are with us here tonight, and thank you. I know it takes a lot of courage and spunk to get out here and do what you're doing. What I'd like for you to do is to give a chronological, in a chronological order, how this whole thing began with you and your family, how it started to where you are, where it brings you today. Can you do that for me?
I can do that for you. It's going to take a few minutes, though.
You got the floor. The time is yours.
All right, here we go. It started out, I was going back into the woods. I was doing some snare trapping. Of course, you ain't allowed to do that, but you know me, man. Who cares? I was out there doing it anyways. I was snare trapping, and I found this huge rock. And I had some old chicken that I'd had in the refrigerator for quite a while. It was starting to stink real bad. So I snare trapped with it. And I was hoping to catch a mink or something like that, you know, and we do have mink here. And I found a bunch of holes coming out of the bottom of some trees on the side of a hill. And I set up a bunch of snare traps down through there. And I was using the chicken on that and the rest of the pack of chicken I took and I laid up on this rock. Well, I went back about I don't know, 50 yards from the rock, and I sat down on the side of the creek bank, and I was sitting there, and I was watching, you know, to see if anything was to come out. Plus, I was watching that rock as well to see if maybe a fox or something like that might come out, and I could catch where he lived. And I sat there for probably, I don't know, 20 minutes to a half an hour, didn't see a single thing, but behind me is a real thicket of woods. And I didn't hear a single thing, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I heard this real loud crack, and a stick or sounded like a tree about 6 to 8 inches around had just snapped right in half, and it really startled me, and it takes a lot to startle me. And once I heard that, I got up. I said, it's time to get my shit and get on. So anyways, I got up, and I got my stuff. I got my backpack over there. I dropped down in the creek. I actually spoke to a friend of mine that wasn't even there, and I had him talk back to me, which he wasn't even there. And I walked about 20 yards up the creek to where I could still see the rock. I turned around and looked back at the rock, and I looked back while I was looking back about that time. I seen a Sasquatch come running from the side of the creek that I was sitting on, the side of the creek that I heard the snap of the wood, and jumped the whole entire creek. And it looked to me like he was moving about 25 to 30 miles an hour in the process of the running and the jump. And it was the first time that I had ever seen anything like that. I wasn't expecting to see anything like that, period. So at first that day, it kind of scared me, and I left. I went ahead and I went home. From that day on, it intrigued me, and I continued to come back out every single day for 7 months. I was coming out from early in the morning, just about from dark in the morning till dark at night, by myself, no gun, basically no knife. I was just coming out with a camera and just taking pictures of them and trying to talk and communicate with them. I found their home where they were staying. They were staying underneath the fallen trees where the loggers would come out, and they would leave the tops and stuff out of the trees. They were staying up under them. I found their home 9 different times. I actually went and got down in one of their homes one time. I didn't crawl up into it, but I did get down into it and look all through it. And it was really unique the way they had it all burrowed out and stuff. And the next day, I came back and I went back to that same home, and it was completely smashed, demolished. You couldn't even tell it was ever a home. I found their home again that same day where they had moved to, but they were never aggressive toward me. Well, a few days had went by and I hadn't seen them, and I don't know why, but they had moved, and they had moved a little closer to where I was, considering talking about my home. They had moved closer to my home. I kept taking my pictures that I was getting off my digital camera back home and showing my wife and showing my kids and stuff, and nobody was believing anything I was showing them. Everybody was saying, it just looks like a blip. It looks like this. It looks like that. Everybody was being a skeptic and not believing anything I had to say, and I just got aggravated with it. So I said to myself one day, all right, that's fine. You got to sit back here, you be a skeptic, blah, 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 you know, you believe what you want to believe, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to get me one of these things, and I'm going to show you all. I took my 8mm out. It's a 1933 model 8mm with an open sight, and it's accurate to 1,000 yards, dead on. I took it out one day. I got set up, I sat there for a good while, and it took me probably hour and a half to pinpoint one. I found it. It was sitting in its hut. It was probably about 150 yards away from me. And I kept calling it and calling it and calling it. And its name was Bart. And I'll tell you how I found out its name here just a little bit. I kept calling it and trying to get it to come out, and it wouldn't come out. It wouldn't come out. It just kept sitting there. So I had about a 6 or an 8 inch hole in the leaves and trees all the way across from one hillside all the way across the valley to the other hillside. And I just took aim on it, and I cracked it. And I shot it one time in the head, and it didn't even flinch. So I popped another shell in there. I shot it a second time in the head, and it rolled it completely out of its hut all the way down to the bottom of the hill. Well, being how I was by myself, and it didn't make no moaning, no groaning, no kind of sound whatsoever, I was a little hesitant on walking over there to see. You know, I was just a little hesitant. So I gave it about 15 minutes or so, and then I got up, and I went ahead, and I went. And I got over there, and it was nowhere to be found. And so I had to, it took me about an hour once I got over there, maybe an hour and a half, to track where it was. And it had sure enough crawled off, and it crawled into a thicket of briars. It crawled back into the briars. And I could see there was a hole in the briars. And I was just, by chance, I was hoping that's where it was. I took out my 12-inch knife that I carried with me, and I started hacking my way back into these briars to where I could get in and look down in that hole. And I hacked my way back into it about 2.5 foot, and I got down and I looked up into this hole, and I couldn't see anything yet. Everything was still solid black, so I hacked my way back into it another foot or so, and I got down on my knees and I looked again, and all I could see was these two big, huge orange eyes looking straight back at me. And they were bright orange, not bright orange, but they were orange, and they had, like a cat has, the retinas were standing straight up and down, and there was two retinas per eye. And the eyes were every bit as big as a man's fist. And they were just unbelievably big. It wasn't making no noise whatsoever that I could hear with my ear. I had a tape recorder with me. My tape recorder was able to pick up sounds from it that I wasn't able to hear with my ear. Of course, I got that all on tape. And I put another shell in my gun. I slid my gun up inside that hole, and it had to be within 1.5 to 2 feet away from its face, and I squeezed off another round right between his eyes. And after I did that, I figured, you know, for sure I had him. No question about it. I got up, I set my gun down, I hacked my way back into them things about another foot and a half to where I could get in there, get something around his neck somehow, and some way, somehow, I was going to get him drug out of there, because I thought at that point in time, I had me a Sasquatch, the first person in the world to get him a Sasquatch. You know, I thought I was rich. I had a prize. I was proud. And I hacked my way back in there about, like I said, 1.5 feet. I got down there and looked, and it was empty all the way through. I could see light on the other side. He was gone. You want to talk about somebody that was mad. Buddy, let me tell you, every inch of redneck came out in me. I was irate. I went around the other side of them briars. There's like a space that you could get through to the back side. I came around to the back side of them briars, and I was ready to just, man, I was mad. And I can't say half the things that I said on the tape on this radio show, but I was irate, and you could hear them things all around me. And I got 6 different animal in distress calls on that tape player to where I didn't hear them with my mouth or with my ears. And the animal in distress calls brought in the what I want to call, I don't even know what I want to call them, but they brought in a second species that ran with the Bigfoot for quite a while, and they kind of resembled a dog. They had a long face in the front. They had real long pointed ears if they had them sticking straight out beside them. They could walk upright. They could walk on all fours. There were 5 white ones, 2 black ones, a gray one, and a brown one. The white ones used the trees to travel. They were extremely fast. They looked evil. They looked something like a demon straight out of hell. They were scary. I didn't know what to think about them. And they seem to have disappeared right now. I haven't seen them in a really long time, but the animal in distress call from the Bigfoot brought those in. I'd never seen them before that day. I would imagine if I went and took that tape player back out there and replayed that animal in distress call, they'd show back up. That's one of the incidents that I had out there with the Bigfoot hunt.
Let me interrupt you. CJ, are you there still?
Yeah, I'm here, Bob.
Okay, listen, I want to ask you a couple of questions, if I may, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
You've piqued my interest, and my audience is out there saying, wow, wow.
Okay.
This is incredible stuff. I want to ask you a couple of things.
Yeah, go ahead.
What went through your mind when you knew that there were multiple creatures there, okay, knowing that it was just you and your gun?
I'll tell you what, when I first started out, there was only 4 Bigfoots, okay, that I knew about. And there was actually 3 adults. There was a woman, there was 2 males. Then it started out, then there was a little kid also. And then more and more started showing up. Well, you know, I still wasn't worried about the Bigfoot, none whatsoever. And I didn't worry about any of it at all, none of the Bigfoots at all, I mean, until the other creature showed up.
Right, you're talking about the ones that look like demons. Okay.
That's right.
Okay. All right, now here's my point. Did you at any point in time feed these creatures? And if you did, what kind of food did you present for them to eat?
I've seen them creatures on several different occasions. I've seen they were actually living and working right with the Bigfoot themselves. I never presented any food for them to eat at all. I believed at one time that they tried to attack my dog. Which my dog's an outside dog. I seen 3 claw marks on one side of my dog's back in his ribs area, and I seen 3 claw marks on the other side, basically in the same place, to where it looked like they had tried to drag him out of his house. So I started locking him up at night. They act like they wasn't afraid. We're a Bigfoot. I could walk out there in a Bigfoot. There could be 30 of them Bigfoots, and they would all run and hide. I could walk out there, and there'd be one of them demon creatures, and it would sit right there, and it'd let me walk all the way up to it, and it'd stay right there as if it wanted me to walk up to it. And I don't know, man. I never did trust them. They looked so evil, and they looked so wicked that I just didn't know what to think about them. There were so many of them. There was, like I said, and they were super fast. I got one of them on film right now on my digital camera, but with my digital camera, it's only being an 8 megapixel. It shows, I need to have that analyzed. The memory card needs to be analyzed and sent to a lab or something and brought enhanced so that them pictures can be really shown. I don't have the money to be able to do something like that. And if somebody out there could do something like that, man, it'd really show. But I've got a picture of one of them things, and my wife started hollering for me right at the end of that film to where I had to turn it off. So right there at the end, I started throwing rocks at this thing. right? And it was right here in my yard where I was taking the picture of it. And I started throwing rocks at it. And each time the rock got closer, its teeth started showing more. And I threw another rock, and it got even closer to it. And its teeth started showing more and more. And the last rock that I threw at it, it must have been almost right on top of it, because it came with a complete grin, a complete growl. And its nose almost looks like a pig's nose when it snarled up. And, I mean, it was really something else to see. But
CJ, let me interrupt you just one more time, please.
Yeah.
We're getting close to the close of the show.
3 minutes. But,
I know. You know, there's people out there that's going to say, "Wow, this guy either has one of the most incredible stories I ever heard, or he's one brick short of a load." Now, I'm used to it by now after all these years what I'm doing. You know, they call me a hoaxer, they call me I'm crazy and all that kind of stuff. But I know the truth because I've seen the creatures.
Yeah.
The people that we roll with have seen evidence of the creatures, if not seeing them physically themselves with their own eyeballs, okay? But I do have to tell you, okay, I'm coming out there. You know this, okay?
Okay.
We're going to be leaving here in a few days. And for me to come out there, there has to be something there. And my boys, you know, Don and Leonard, really believe in you, okay?
Okay, cool.
So we're going to give it the little extra oomph that it takes to do this, but I got to tell you, the stuff that you've experienced in my 36 years, I've never experienced. So you've got one up on me. But the difference between what you've got and I've got is I've got those big things between my legs, and they're called culhonies.
Yeah.
I'm going to guarantee you, if these demon creatures are there, come and get me, man. I'm ready. Okay?
I hear you.
All right? And all these gray ones and red ones and brown ones and black Bigfoots that are out there.
Yeah.
I want to talk to them like you do. I want to feed them like you do.
I want to do all that.
Okay. Listen, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'll see you real soon. And my boys, God bless them. You know, Chris Allen, he's out here singing. Goes to show you the people of Seligman, how wonderful they are. They gave us a room, gave us food, gave us drink, to get us out of those elements. Yeah, they're wonderful. And didn't charge us, but he's singing for our food tonight. It shows you that we care. God love you guys. Till next time, America, kudos and salutations.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day, we'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size
like
and everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a trim.
But it's manufactured.
The hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answer.
answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, mixing mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. What brought them together? Reason for the facts.